Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Hebrews chapter 4. This is verse 10 and 11. For he who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. And therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through the same example of disobedience. Throughout Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about rest. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus invites those who are weary and heavy laden to enter into rest. I remember when I was first discovering some of these things back in the day when I lived in Birmingham, and I was working for a ministry and also going to Bible college part-time. I was older than most of the students. And had the opportunity to speak in their lives a lot. Had a Bible study at UAB that many of them came to on Friday nights. UAB campus let us use a big classroom to have the Bible study. And I would talk about entering into rest because God had really changed my life from a person struggling with mental illness to coming to a place of real freedom when I realized that I was in Christ, that Christ himself was prepared to live the Christian life through me, and he was really good at it. But a lot of these Bible students would get all twisted up, and I remember one of them saying, well, you know, this thing about resting in the Lord, he said, I wanted to pray for people to receive Christ, to witness to them, so I laid up in my room and rested, and Jesus didn't lead anybody to Christ. I thought that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but they really meant that. They thought that that rest meant you didn't do anything. And it's not resting from activity, it's resting in his activity, but I love the fact that it says in Hebrews that you were entering into his rest. It's not just that you're entering into rest, you're entering into his rest. There's a difference. Entering into what he feels and what he thinks and how he sees stuff. And he's at rest. That's the rest God calls us to, which is much better than him tapping me and giving me some kind of rest. Can you imagine the kind of rest of heart and rest of soul that Jesus himself experiences? Well, I love teaching from the gospel lesson that was read today, but I'm not going to do a lot of that. I just want to show you a little simple thing, is that it talks about Jesus giving them this word and saying, we're going to go to the other side. And remember that Jesus only did those things that he saw the Father doing. He only said those things he heard the Father saying. And so just as we abide in him, he was abiding in his Father. And so he knew it was the Father's will. The Father had showed him we're going to the other side. He only did those things he saw the Father doing. And therefore he spoke that word, we're going to go to the other side. So he also knew it was the Father's responsibility to get him there. If that's what the Father was going to do, he was going to rest on the Father to get it done. That's why Jesus said about entering into rest, and I'll just read that passage instead of trying to quote it and slaughtering it. It's a real familiar one. Now, I don't know if all these scriptures are as familiar to you as these are all like refrigerator verses to me, because in those first couple of years of mental illness, I was still walking in when I first surrendered my life to Christ. Any scripture that talked about peace or joy or rest, that I was consumed with them because I was desperate to try to find answers. So this is one of those ones that became life verses. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I certainly qualified for that. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I remember when I used to read those scriptures, I was going, what? If anybody on earth had a burden to carry, not just talking about going to the cross, but all the responsibilities around Christ, the warfare that he encountered. But he said, but his yoke was easy and his burden was light. Oh, man. He said, come and learn from me. How did he walk that out? And so I think about that story that Jesus, who was in the Father and the Father was in him, so they were in this union relationship and the Father made it clear they were going to go to the other side. So by faith, Jesus speaks that. And so when they're in the boat and the storm comes, Jesus is asleep in the boat. Why? Because there was no sweat. It wasn't his job to get him there. It was the Father's job to get him there. And Jesus believed the Father was faithful. He was able to get him there. Now, the thing I love about the story was read today is that it says that Jesus was asleep in the storm, and then when Jesus rebuked the storm and it stopped, now Jesus didn't rebuke the storm so they'd get to the other side, because that was irrelevant. They were going to get to the other side. He wasn't really worried about the storm. He was asleep when in the boat. But it says, and there was a great calm. So we can live the Christian life one or two ways. Jesus was at rest in the storm, or we can know the great calm when the storm goes away. And the way most people live their Christian life is begging Jesus to make the storms go away so they can be at rest. Instead of knowing that you can live supernaturally and be in rest in the midst of the storm. That's the life he's called us to. That's entering into his rest. That's a perfect picture of the rest of Jesus, that we're in union with him. Jesus was at rest because he knew the Father was. He was in the Father. And the Father had said, we're going to the other side. So Jesus knew they were going to get to the other side, storm or no storm. And therefore, even though they were going through a storm, he was at rest. The disciples were only at rest. There was only a great calm for them. Great calm for Jesus in the storm. Great calm for them when the storm finally ended. And sadly, most Christians live their Christian life begging God to calm the storm so they can be at rest. Instead of having enough holy curiosity to go, you know, how awesome would it be to know calm and be at rest while the storm's still blowing? That's the Christian life. Even a lost person is at peace when the storm goes away. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.